We're in this series called At the Movies, and movies are very much like the parables of Jesus in that they convey a truth or a lesson that we need to learn, something that's going to help us, something that's going to benefit us. We're looking at different movies that provide biblical truths that we need to learn and apply to our lives. We're going to be looking at this, as we have said every week. I just want to remind you, it's not necessarily that these are great movies. It's not necessarily that these movies are something that you should show your family, because sometimes they have content that might be adult content or not relative to kids and all that kind of stuff. That's something for you to pursue and to search it out and to know what you should and should not watch. The movies still have these great truths. And so today what we're looking at a movie called Sandlot, which I'm sure that most everybody have seen. And we're looking at the relationships that we all need. We're going to be looking at the movie. Obviously, we're not going to show the whole thing, so you can look at it later on. In the summer of 1962, a fifth grader named Scotty Smalls moves with his mom and his stepdad to Southern California in the San Fernando Valley, where he is trying to make friends over the summer. Now, seeking to fit in, Smalls tries to join a group of guys who play baseball in a local sandlot. But Scotty Smalls is awkward and intimidated because he doesn't know or understand baseball, and he doesn't understand or know how to catch a ball or throw a ball. But you have to give him props, because in spite of his uncertainties, in spite of his fears, he has this longing for friends. And that longing for friends pushes him out of his comfort zone. In fact, this is probably something that you need to write down in your notes. If you have your notes, you want to take them. And that's this. The one thing that we do need to understand is this. You were created to live in community. I know it says we, but you personally were created to live in community. We were designed by God to live in community. And because of that, hear me, because we were designed by God to live in community, we will naturally search it out. The very best version of ourselves is found in connection with other people. It's more than social media. It's more than that kind of connection. The very best version of you personally. Now, here's the problem. While our hurts and our past, and while the fears of the unknown seek to isolate us, our God-given design longs for something more. The way that God created you longs for something more. Though the world, though your hurts, though your fears seek to isolate you, seek for you to keep people at arm's distance, what God is doing inside of you is something much different and much deeper. A lot of people don't pay attention to this need to belong. They don't experience this life that God's designed for them. And God's the one who said it when he created man. He said, it isn't good for man to be alone. And we often use that as a marriage scripture, which it is a marriage scripture, but it's way more, it's way deeper than that. And it's this, at the very core of that, this is about our need for spiritual community. At the very core, that statement speaks to our need in how we were designed. In fact, I would say this. This is on your notes too if you want to write it down. We have a need to belong. Every one of us, we have a need to belong. Psychologists say that belonging is a basic and fundamental need to our sense of happiness and well-being. Biblically speaking, belonging is essential to who God has created us to be. It goes way beyond how this benefits us personally. This addresses our identity. Who God made you to be is discovered in community. In fact, the fulfillment that so many people are looking for in life is only found in a sense of belonging to God and to others. And while we might want that, we also fear that. And while we know that it might be necessary, we still try to get that out on our terms, not God's terms. Before you start thinking of excuses of why maybe this doesn't pertain to you, I want to show you why we do need others. And the Sandlot has a lot of great lessons for us to learn. I want to look at, and we're going to cover those as we begin this. But first of all, relationships provide acceptance that we're longing for. Relationships provide the acceptance that you and I are looking for. Benny, who is the leader of this group, accepts Smalls when absolutely nobody else would. And the problem is, the rest of the group, they base their acceptance on performance, which we see a lot of times in the world, don't we? I mean, you are accepted by how well you perform in life and how well you perform in other things. And That's no different than on the sandlot. But the problem is we can't accept people that we judge. When everybody else abandons us, when everybody else might judge us, having that one person that stands up to defend you is everything. I mean, you're probably aware, but the reason that most of us have a hard time accepting others is because we confuse acceptance with approval. There's a big difference between the two of those. And you can accept somebody without approving of their lifestyle. But a lot of times, especially in church, people, they want to accept the lifestyle before they'll approve. That's not scriptural. Romans 15, Paul says that we're to accept one another just as Christ accepted you. That's what brings praise to God. And the truth is, you know what? God accepted you before you accepted him. God accepted you before your lifestyle fell in line with his. And this is a big issue that we need to address. And if we're going to experience community, then we have to understand that acceptance is a big part of that. See, in church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a hotel for saints. The church is a place where we're growing and becoming. This is a church for people that don't have it all together, for imperfect people like every church should be. And acceptance is key to that. If we're ever going to experience the community in this church, then acceptance has got to be a part of our lifestyle. Also, relationships provide for us appreciation that shows that we're valued. You can't be in a relationship with anyone who doesn't value you or you don't value them. Benny takes Smalls under his wing, basically. What he does is he invests himself into Smalls to show that Smalls is valued. Hebrews 13 tells us this, that don't forget to do good and to share with those that are in need. See, when we value people, we invest in them. We come alongside of them and provide assistance for their needs. We might even offer advice for some areas where they need advice. But let me also just say one thing about that advice issue. Advice is better received when it's one-on-one than in a group, because we don't want to come across judgmental if we're offering advice and we want to help. If they accept it, great, and if they don't. But you see Benny, he comes alongside Smalls and he offers advice, something that he needed to know that nobody else would share with him. We always invest in what we value. Here's another issue. Relationships provide protection for our blind spots. When baseball is a hit over the fence in the movie Sandlot, it becomes the property of the infamous dog Hercules, also known as the Beast. And there's a lot that Smalls does not understand, not just about baseball, but about this environment. So when the ball is hit over the fence, it becomes a property of the Beast and he can't get it, but Smalls doesn't know that. He needs the group to provide protection for what he doesn't know. Psalms 82 says this, that we're to rescue the weak and the needy, to deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That's a great thing about community. We all have blind spots, every single one of us. We all have blind spots. None of us have it all together. We need a community of people that are there to protect us, that are there to warn us, to help us grow and become more like Christ. That happens in community. The last one, relationships provide support for when we are weak. Not just protection from our blind spot. We need support for our weaknesses. And we all have weaknesses. In the movie Sandlot, Squints has been wrestling with something for years. This is my favorite clip. Something that causes him to make a foolish choice, if you will. And he needed the support of this group. Ecclesiastes 4 reminds us this about our weaknesses. It says, two people are better off than one, for they help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. In fact, he says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. In fact, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. It's a scripture about community and our need for community, the danger of isolation. And we can hear it and we can know it and we can still not address it. There's times when we just choose not to listen to it, no matter how important it is. When it comes to this issue of our weaknesses, you might impress people with your strengths, but you will connect with people through your weaknesses. Community provides support that we all need in times of weaknesses, in times of temptation, in times of our fears. But here's an issue. When it comes to this support issue, You have to want support. Support isn't something that is put on you. It's something that you seek out. Community is, it's more than a lot of things. Community is more than, first of all, the number of friends that you might have. It's more than the number of friends you have on Facebook or the number of people that you know or something like that. And while community does include friendships, we would be wrong to define community as just friends. Community also is more than going to church on Sundays, as important as that is. A lot of people come to church because of relationships. But community is deeper than just saying hi to somebody on a Sunday or shaking their hand during greeting time. Community is also, and this might surprise you, but community is way more than the family that we're close to. I'm not a dog and family. Family is necessary and good and needed. It is important. But family does not mean community. Here's the thing. Community is a trust issue. If you're going to experience community, it comes out of this trust. Real community happens when we choose to trust. And spiritual community happens when we trust, when this trust happens in our lives. Because what happens is, it's not just trusting people, we learn to trust Jesus. And when we learn to trust Jesus, listen to this verse and how it describes it. It says, "Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you." Listen, community happens when we learn to trust Jesus. Because when we learn to trust Jesus, he removes the selfishness and the hatred that keeps us separated, that keeps us holding people at arm's distance. Community is sharing real love. But that doesn't happen with selfishness and hatred. That prevents community. Also, community is a commitment issue. Not just a trust issue, it's a commitment issue. And there's a couple of different commitments I want to look at in this. And the first one, our commitment to a spiritual community. Because the truth is, belonging, as much as we long for that, belonging requires buy-in. Community requires commitment. Well, no, you can't experience community without personal commitment. And that's a big part of what keeps most people distant from experiencing this. When we seek for belonging, acceptance, and advice, sometimes we seek from that from different groups. Sometimes we have a group at church that we seek for. Sometimes we have a group outside of church that we seek advice for. But the problem is the different groups are not necessarily going in the same direction. And so there's a statement that's on your notes if you want to fill it in, but it's this: partially belonging in two places can be as isolating and lonely as not belonging anywhere. And yet that's what a lot of times we do. We seek some advice here and some advice there. They're both going in different directions, but it's just this, it's a seeking out advice and seeking out support without commitment to either group. If you're going to belong to a spiritual community, then we have to commit ourselves to one another. Paul, you don't have the scripture if you want to write it down. It's 2 Corinthians 8:5. But here's Paul says this. He's speaking of the church, and he says that they committed themselves first of all to the Lord. He says, and then by the will of God, they committed themselves to us also. So in other words, what he's saying is, hey, it's necessary if you're going to be in this spiritual community, you got to have a commitment to God. But you also have to have a commitment to one another. A lot of times that's what's lacking. Secondly, our commitment is also, the second part of this commitment is, our commitment is also, we have to commit to the work that's required. James tells us that this real wisdom, godly wisdom, begins with a holy life that is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced with each other. In fact, it goes on in verse 18, it says, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. And the truth is that spiritual community doesn't just happen, it requires work. And that's a big part of what keeps people from experiencing community, because you know what? When you have a commitment to somebody, then when somebody does something that offends you or does something that hurts you, the real work of that is learning to forgive them, learning to accept them even though they have flaws, learning to keep peace even though they might not want to keep peace. When we learn to invest in that, it has great payoff in our lives. In the movie Sandlot, Scotty Smalls borrows a prized baseball from his stepdad while his stepdad's away for work. And what happens is Smalls hits his first home run with this ball over the fence, and now the beast took it. It's gone forever. The problem is that prized ball was prized because it was signed by Babe Ruth. And Smalls would have never used that ball if he knew who Babe Ruth was. The rest of the movie is about them finding this ball. But here's the problem and the point that I want to make, and that is this: we tend to get into trouble when we don't know the value of what we have. Smalls didn't know the value of the baseball, or he would have never used it. And I think the same is applicable with community. When we don't know the value of community, we make choices that undermine community, that keep us distant. We base our choices off of convenience rather than commitment. See, community, what it does is it gives us a group of people that stretch us spiritually. And we all need that. A group of people that stretch us spiritually. Paul says in Romans, he says, I need your help, for I want not only to share my faith with you, but also to be encouraged by yours. And you get this give and take. We need people that inspire us and encourage us in our relationship with Christ. And here's the thing, people in your life, they are inspiring you. The people that you, the community that you have in your life right now, whoever, whatever that community might be, they are inspiring you. But the issue is, what are they inspiring? Are they inspiring a life that leads you closer to God, or are they inspiring you a life that leads you away from God? As we are stretched to grow, we become stronger. And we need people that are stretching us. And that's the issue. This community that we're searching for happens in small groups and intimate groups. It's a community that is inspiring. It inspires us through others to be who God wants us to be. And if we want spiritual strength, then we have to be willing to be stretched. Another thing is, community also gives us a group of people that know us intimately. We tend to fear intimacy because that involves vulnerability. And whether it's pride or whether it's fear that others will judge us, these are merely defense mechanisms that we've allowed, that, and they're not from God. But we see them as okay because they are what they are. They protect us. We think that's a good thing. We all have problems. We all have hangups. We all have hurts. And we need others to walk us through that and walk with us so that we can be healed. We need other people to pray with us. The problem is, a lot of times we search out community from people that won't pray with us. They'll give us positive thoughts. They'll wish us well. They have a lot of advice. They're not connecting you to God. We think that counterfeit community is okay, but it doesn't lead us where God's leading us. See, community provides a place where we belong, where we are accepted and valued, where we allow other people to really know us, not the facade, not a fake smile. This is where we allow people to know us. Is it risky? Yeah, it's risky. Are the rewards worth it? Yeah, they're worth it. The reason this is important is spiritual community provides this acceptance, because basically acceptance is one of those things that we live from God's acceptance. We don't live for the acceptance of other people. Even in a spiritual community, we're able to accept people not because they accept us. We're able to accept people because we live from God's acceptance of us. Spiritual community also gives us a group of people that care for us consistently. And it doesn't matter who you are. We all need to be cared for, every one of us. We need to be loved and encouraged and looked after. We need to be prayed for. We need to be checked on. So we need someone in our lives. We need people in our lives that will listen. 1 Corinthians says this: there should be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. When one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. When we isolate ourselves, we are left with no one to care for us. See, our intimacy may be with the wrong group, or our intimacy may be underdeveloped because we're not committed to a spiritual group. So here's the problem that happens. When something bad happens in our lives, we don't have anyone that we can pray with. We don't have anybody that sees what's going on in our life. So we don't have anyone that's looking out for us. We don't have anybody that's reading what's going on and saying, hey, is everything all right? Because they don't really know us. They don't know what's going on. And we like it that way, don't we? We want to keep people at arm's distance. The problem is when we're hurting and no one knows us, then we don't get cared for. I've said this statement a lot. I'll keep saying it because it is so important. And that is this: you are cared for best by those who know you most. Spiritual community is necessary for you to receive the care that you need. God loves you beyond your wildest dreams. He sees your needs. He knows your hurts. He knows when you're discouraged, and he knows your fears. He knows the needs of your life. And guess what? He uses other Christ followers to minister to those needs in your life. And we have to let him. The last one is this: community gives us a group of people doing life together. That's more than a slogan for us. It's a slogan that we use at the Quest. It says, say, doing life together. But it's way more than a slogan. It's how God designed the church to function. You can see that in the early church in Acts 2. Doing life together is about sharing life. It's sharing needs. It's sharing everything. This has to be more than a Sunday thing. Maybe you've heard this statement that Jesus is more than a Sunday thing. That's very true. If Jesus is just a Sunday thing to you, you're not experiencing Jesus the way he designed to be experienced. If Jesus is more than a Sunday thing, I would say this is also true, and that is this: community is a Jesus thing. So if Jesus is more than a Sunday thing and community is a Jesus thing, guess what community is? It doesn't happen here. It happens throughout the week. It happens as we open our hearts and we learn to trust. We commit ourselves to one another, we learn to share. We look at each other and we accept and we value one another. Because scripture says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there. We sing a song like that that says, Jesus, I need you. And that's the issue that we overlook, is that Jesus is in community. The Jesus that you're looking for, the Jesus that you're asking for, the Jesus that you're praying for is experienced in spiritual community. And yet we avoid it at all costs. I want to say this, is that real spiritual community is found in connection groups. It's found in small groups that meet every week. That's why we encourage people to get involved in it. You see it in the early church. You see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus was a part of small groups. They always met. They did life together. You can meet people on Sunday, and that's important, but community happens in connection groups. And so I'd like to encourage you to take a step of faith today. A step. I know you're not going to like it, but you know what? I can't force anybody to do anything. I'm only pointing you to a greater connection with this Jesus that you're longing for. And that's this: if you're not in a connection group, I'd like you to take a step today to go to the Next Steps table and sign up to get involved in a connection group. And I know that's the scariest thing in the world for you, because first of all, that's a commitment. That's a commitment we're afraid of. It's vulnerability that we don't know we can trust. And yet, if you're going to experience community, you've got to have trust and you've got to have commitment. If you sign up out there, we'll contact you this week to help you get connected to a group. Love that for you more than anything. And I also want to say this: if you're in a connection group, if you understand the value of spiritual community, I want to ask you to take a step, and I want you to consider leading a group. Because the truth is, we need more Bennies. We need more leaders, people that will come alongside, willing to come alongside, and to offer acceptance and to offer help. Maybe you want to just open up your home. That's great. Whether you want to lead or open up your home, come and talk to me, because we need more groups. We need more community. So I want you to understand, if you just keep your eyes closed, just hear me out. Those of you that experience community and you understand, wow, how important. Dave is right on. I wish everybody would understand this. I wish everybody would get this. I wish they would take a step of faith. I wish they'd take that step, because it will change their life and it will help them. Listen, if you've been in a connection group, The same faith is being asked of you right now. Step out of your comfort zone and start a connection group on your own. Because community requires faith, and it requires leaders. And God wants you to experience the fulfillment in your life that He designed you for. And I don't know what's keeping you from engaging, but I want you to recognize it for what it is. Whatever community you think you have, it is a counterfeit community. It's not tied to your church. It's not tied to faith. It's a self-preserved, a self-created group that you've designed for yourself. I tell people this, and I say this, listen, just keep your eyes closed, hear me out, because I'm not looking at anybody. This is not a pinpointed issue. I tell people this. I had somebody this morning come up to me and they said, "Hey, that was a great talk." I said, "Did you sign up for a connection group?" They said, "No." I said, "Then it wasn't a great talk. It didn't move you." They said, "Yeah, you know, I just don't know if there's a connection group I really want to get involved with here." I said, "Then get out of this church and go to a church that you want to get involved with and commit yourself to a connection group." And I say that with the most love that I can. If you can't attend a connection group here, then you should not be at church here. You should be at a church that you love so much that you can get in. And I say that humbly because I want you here. But I also know that you were designed for something more than Sundays. Can I pray with you? I understand the steps that I'm asking are great steps. But I know that God is great and He can help you take the steps. Father, I know that the steps that you have asked me to put out are great steps, but I also know that you can be trusted. And I asked, Father, that while they might seem impossible, that we can trust you. And in trusting you, Lord, Father, you make yourself even more fully known. Father, you designed us for this community. You designed us for spiritual growth. You designed us to be stretched. You designed us to be known. But Father, it requires commitment and trust on our part. So I ask that you would give each one of us that commitment that we need, that trust that we need, our trust in you and our commitment to one another. And what seems to be impossible will be made possible. Father, may we experience life. May we experience love. May we experience you as you have designed us for. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.